Matthew chapter 15. We're looking forward to a baptismal service following Sunday school today. A number of folks will be baptized there, and several that had planned to. Things had come up that they couldn't be there today with work conflicts and other things, so we'll be having another one again in the near future. But we're thankful for those that are following the Lord in the believer's baptism. I know a number of you had contacted me through the week and even this morning and said that you are battling sickness or you have loved ones that are sick or children that are sick. And I didn't forget you. And I hope that you understand what I'm about to say. Sometimes it's not that we're making less of your needs. It's just that really if we pray without the help of the Lord, and if we fail to pray with the unction of the Holy Spirit and the timing of God, we can miss out on a lot of blessings. And today, I just felt like after you hear the sermon, that you'll be maybe better equipped as you come forward for yourself or for your family or for your friends. Because I think sometimes we have to understand faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. And when we hear the Word of God, it just reconfirms what we already know from having served the Lord for many years. But yet, as we look in the Word of God, it strengthens us as we pray the prayer of faith for people that are sick. I'm not a healer, but I know the healer. And he can do anything. So I encourage you, when the invitation is given, I hope that you'll come, bring your children, bring your loved ones, if you need God to touch you or meet a need in your life, and we'll be happy to pray for you today that God would honor that. I'm preaching on the subject, up on the mountain. Up on the mountain. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 29, I'm just looking at three verses, three simple verses that have a great message about the mountain ministries of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 15, 29, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee." So we know the area that Jesus is in. I've been in that area many times, and some of you have been there as well. Around the Sea of Galilee, when the Bible talks about a mountain, it is a mountain. The mountains are not like the hills that we have here. I mean, they are mountains. Jagged, rough, tough to get up on. But yet, we read in the very next part of this verse, "And went up into a mountain and sat down." So Jesus climbs this mountain. When it gets to the top, he sits down. Now that's important. Because he's not sitting down to rest. I'll tell you what he's sitting down for is what happens in the next verse. "And great multitudes came unto him." Now they're at the top of the mountain. "Having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And cast them down at Jesus' feet." And what's the next three words? He healed them. "Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." When we look at this, there's really three things that caught my attention to begin with, and then I want to deal with what happens on the mountaintop. But I think first we've got to look in verse 29 at the mountain. We have to understand what's happening here. Jesus is climbing one of many mountains that he climbed while he was on this earth. He's getting to the top of this mountain for a specific purpose with a plan in mind. And it's good to know that Jesus climbed every mountain for us. That way we can say that he's not only God in the valley, but he's God on the mountain. And he gets to that mountain, and when he gets there, he's not only willing to climb the mountain, but he's willing to sit there and wait on those that are coming behind him. So there's some things that we see in the Lord's life that he was willing to exert the energy to go beyond others and places that these others would not have gone on their own, but bringing them with a desire to come to him. So he climbs that mountain. You need to understand something. Anytime you're in a valley, there is at least a mountain on both sides. And the Lord has climbed every mountain and been to the top of it. And before you ever get there, Jesus is already there waiting on you. So we see the mountain that he climbed. We see the multitudes that came. Here they are now. They know that Jesus has gone to the top of the mountain.
And they decide, I'm going to climb that mountain too. But what's unusual is some of the folks that are in this mountain. There's people with some serious problems. Now, it's one thing to climb a mountain, but to climb a mountain when you're lame, when you're blind. Think about that. To climb a mountain when you're going through all of these physical problems, and he gives us a category of some five different groups that climbed that mountain, lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. There were people that possibly were elderly. It was a difficult climb for them. But they knew that it was worth it to get to the top of the mountain. Their problems, they were permanent problems. See, in biblical times, even though there were doctors, they didn't have surgeons that could perform miraculous surgeries. When you were lame, that meant you were lame the rest of your life. There was nothing you could do about it. When you were blind the rest of your life. There was nothing you could do about it. If you had a maimed body, it was maimed the rest of your life. If you couldn't speak, you'd never be able to speak. Even though there was medical science, all of these people had a condition that nobody could help them with. But they said, if somehow I can get up to the top of that mountain, I believe there's somebody there that can help me. I don't care what your need is, what your problem is. It may be a rough climb up the side of the mountain, but just keep on climbing. I promise you, Jesus is waiting at the top of the mountain and has everything that you need. The mountain they climb. The multitudes that came. The ministry that he conducted. I call myself a minister. If I want to have a ministry, I need to find out what kind of ministry Jesus had. And I should desire the Lord to operate through our ministry the way that Jesus operated. And it tells us what kind of a ministry he had. He had a healing ministry. He healed them. You can't show me in the scripture where anyone that came with a need went away sorry. Every need they had was supplied by Jesus Christ. And if I can somehow encourage you in my ministry to get to Jesus, you say, now preacher, that's a strange subject to be preaching on the Sunday after your sister went to be with the Lord. Yes, but I'm convinced of the fact she has no heart problems today. I'm convinced of the fact she'll never have to go to a doctor again. I'm convinced of the fact there are no surgeries in glory. I'm convinced of the fact that in heaven the lame shall leap, and the dumb shall speak, and the blind shall see, and those that are in wheelchairs shall walk. I am going to a land that is fair than day. By faith, I can see it afar, and I can say this morning, even as John on the Isle of Patmos, Lord, take me to that great and high exceeding mountain at the place where all of our needs will be met for all eternity. He had a healing ministry. He had a helping ministry. He knew they had a need and he wanted to help them meet that need. Can I tell you something today? Don't let the devil put you in a box and tell you that God doesn't care. Jesus wants to help us. Everything we face in life, he wants to help us. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. His ministry is not to hurt you, not to hurt me. He wants to help us. Even the things that we look at, sometimes it seems so painful. It is God's way of saying, listen, in the end, you're going to be better off. I'm going to help you. Then he had an honored ministry. I think it's interesting to note at the end of verse 31, they glorified the God of Israel. They didn't glorify Jesus. They glorified the God of Israel. Well, what do you mean? Jesus said, every time Jesus ever talked about anything, he referred people to the Father. Do you know what he was saying? People that are holy and people that are right and people that want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't take the glory. They give the glory to God. No man, no woman can ever be holy if they take the glory. But if they honor the Lord in everything that is done, if we take the credit for it, then we're not where we should be with God. And what Jesus is saying, the reason I want you to glorify my Father that's in heaven is because you need to understand God is in control of all things. Jesus had a body. But if we get to the place where we worship man more than we worship God, we're in trouble. We should honor God in all things. But they make it to the top of the mountain. Three groups of people, had an experience on this mountaintop. And I want to mention those three very quickly. First of all, I see the Savior and His mountaintop experience. When Jesus climbed that mountain, He had a purpose. He didn't climb the mountain for the view, Brian. He didn't climb the mountain because He was tired and needed a place to rest at the top of the mountain. No, when He climbed the mountain, He had a purpose. When He got to the top of the mountain, He sat down because He knew others were on their way. He had gone to the top of the mountain. This was His way of allowing people to filter out in their life what was the most important thing to them. Was it more important than having their needs met, than satisfying the comfort zone that they were in? They were more comfortable down at the foot of the hill. Climbing the mountain was quite a task. But Jesus said there's some things that's worth the climb. There is an experience that is there. He was fulfilling the purpose. What was His purpose? To bless people. Jesus wanted to bless them. So when He got there, He didn't sit down and quit. No, He turned around to wait on the people that were coming. He knew others were coming. And on that mountaintop, He knew they were closer to heaven up there than they were in the valley. So He climbs to the top of the mountain and He picks the perfect place. Has it all ready for them by the time they ever get there. Do you hear what I'm saying? No matter what you're going through, how rough the climb, when we finally get there, Jesus is already there. He's waiting on us. He's wanting to do something for us. He's already gone through it, tempted in all points like we are tempted yet without sin. So He's able to help us when we go through anything. The Savior and the mountaintop experience. We see the sick and the mountaintop experience. Now here they are, sick people, going out of their way to seem to do what is impossible to get to the top of that mountain. There were people that were lame. That means they couldn't stand. You ever get into something that you feel like you can't stand? Some of you right now are in places in your life where you think, I just can't stand anymore. I can't take anymore. I'm not able to stand. If you can't stand, there's somebody at the top of the mountain waiting on you. There were people that were blind. They couldn't see. You look through everything in life and you can't see the purpose. You can't understand what's going on. If you could just figure it all out. But there's somebody at the top of the mountain that's waiting on you today, saying, keep on climbing. I'll help you see it all. There were people that were maimed that was there. They had no strength. Sometimes you can love the Lord with all of your heart, but you just feel like everything in you is out of you. But God gives you strength. If you feel weak today, just keep climbing. At the top of the mountain, there's someone that can make you strong. You may be at the point where you're dumb. You don't know what to say. People ask you questions and you don't have the answer. Hey, I've been in this thing for a few years, and one of the hardest things to face is when people go through things and expect an answer and you can't give them an answer. You can't explain what's going on. But I do know this, if you just keep climbing, in the end you're going to speak. And when you speak, you're going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. God knew what He was doing through all of it. So I can stand assured that when I speak, I can still tell you that God is good. I don't care what we go through in life. life, God is good. I don't care what we're facing in life, God is good. God was just as good to our family on Friday night as He was on Friday morning. God loves us. This doesn't mean that God's punishing us. God is good. And I can speak the name that is greater than any other name, the name of Jesus, and say at the top of the mountain, in the end, all I can say is praise you, Lord. I bless your name. You have not failed. You will not fail. So with all that is within me, I bless your holy name. Many others. What's that mean? I don't care what you have. I don't care what you're going through. It's worth it to get to the top of the mountain. The Savior and the mountaintop experience. The sick and the mountaintop experience. Now, there's two meanings to the sick. One is Christians that are going through literal sickness. Real pain. Real suffering. See, Jesus is able to help you in your time of suffering. Just because you're going through it doesn't mean you've sinned, doesn't mean you've done wrong. If you are going through things, I think the first thing we ought to do every time is ask ourselves, Lord, am I pleasing you? I want to make sure my life is pleasing God. I sure don't want to face things without the Lord and without the hand of God. All men knowing that I'm trying to do what's right. The first thing you ought to do as a Christian when you face anything is say, Lord, search me, try me. If there's any wicked way, show me. Someone asked me one time, said, well, I prayed. I don't know why I'm going through this. I've asked God, just show me what's wrong. He hasn't shown me anything. Has it ever dawned on you? Maybe there isn't anything. You want Him to show you something that's not there? It's the devil trying to tell you. You failed. You must have done something terribly wrong to be going through this. That's what Job's friends said to Job. But that doesn't mean that the sickness is there because you sinned. But also, when we are sinners, God likens sinful people, sinners, unto diseased people. You know why? Because God knows we can understand with our mind certain illustrations that He gives us. When you read about people with diseases in the Bible, the diseased person a lot of times represented the sinner. When they come to Jesus, before He'd heal them, He'd forgive them of their sin. Or He'd tell them something like this, go thy way and sin no more. Sometimes we need to remember that sickness also is a representation of the sinner. In those multitudes of people, there had to be unbelievers. Even though they were sick, they still didn't believe. They were unbelieving people. And you know what? All of that is really a picture of us when we were sinners. Let's see. We were blind. We sure couldn't see anything spiritually before we got to Jesus. And we couldn't walk right before we get to Jesus. Some of you think if you clean your life up, Jesus will take you in. Jesus said, no, I want to take you in and clean your life up. Some of us, we had no strength spiritually. We're weak till we get to Jesus. What I'm saying to you is, I don't care how blind you are. I don't care how weak you are. Spiritually, I don't care how lame you are. I don't care where your sin has taken you. If we can somehow just get you up to the mountain this morning, and if you see that Jesus is there waiting on you, all of those things that sin did to us, Jesus restores within us. If somehow we can get you to Jesus, He'll make the difference in your life. Let me close with this. Let's think finally about the saints and their mountaintop experience. Boy, there's some strange things about these people that were followers of Christ. There's some things, if you're not careful, you'll read it and you'll glance right over it. One of the things I think about was that they were willing to walk the mountain too. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to do some things. Saved people have to walk mountains too. If Jesus went up to the mountain, we've got to go up the mountain sometime. And we've got to be willing to do that.
Now, the next part probably won't go over very well, but it's truth. What can I say? They were willing to work. What do you mean work? Well, let me ask you this. How do you think lame people got to the top of the mountain? How do you think blind people got there? Somebody tell me, how do you think they got there? Somebody had to carry him. Now, it's one thing for me to climb a mountain, but to climb a mountain with somebody on my side or on my back, that's a lot of work. It's enough work for me to climb it, but to try to climb it and take people along with you, somebody had to do some work. If they were going to get them to Jesus, they had to work to get them to Jesus. But they said, you know, if we can get them to Christ, we might have to carry them up the mountain, but we won't have to worry about them getting back down. Oh, thank God. They might need some help getting up there, but they won't need any help getting back down. If we get them up to Jesus, I've seen what He can do. I know what He can do. If we can get them to Jesus, that's all that matters. The Lord does all of the saving, but we have to work to get people to the Lord for Him to save them. Take some work to get a place where people can come, get on the mountaintop to be able to see Jesus. But it's worth the work. So they were willing to walk it. They were willing to work. But then they were willing to wonder. Verse 31, insomuch the multitude wondered. Wondered at what? When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see. Now, I might have to take a little bit of time out here to shout for a while. In all my years of serving God, bringing others to Jesus, sometimes He does things so far beyond what I expected that I have to sit down and just wonder, Lord, why are You so good to me? I expected something to happen, but Lord, this is way beyond what I ever expected. Well, why were they wondering? Well, I think each one that had somebody with them probably was expecting that one. But then when they got up there, you can't show me where anybody left with a need. When they got up there and everyone got their need met and everyone got their healing and everyone had a mountaintop experience. I'm telling you, it'll leave you in wonder sometimes. I still look for the ultimate wonder of all. I'd like to be in one service, one time where everybody could close the world out and think about nothing but Jesus and how good that He's being. Get up on that mountaintop experience and start to praise God for His goodness. They were willing to worship Him. They were willing to glorify God. We ought to be willing to say, Lord, we're going to bless Your name no matter what's going on. They were praising God up the mountain. They praised God on the top of the mountain. They praised God when they came off the mountain. They glorified God in all things. They saw His grace. They saw His glory. They saw God. If you're here today and you're at a place where you have needs that you have tried and tried to see those needs met, won't you let us help you get up the mountain today? You're here and sick and loved ones are sick and you're wanting to see God do great things and you're confused and you may even feel like you're weak in your faith. Why don't you let us help carry you up to the top of the mountain? You're here today and you feel like I can't take another step. Why don't you come and let somebody get on both sides of you? Somebody get behind you. Let us help carry you up to the top of the mountain. When you get there, you won't even know we're there. You won't even see us, but you'll see the one that matters. You'll see the Lord in His glory, and you'll leave glorifying God. We might have to help you get up there, but you won't need no help coming back down. You'll be just fine. You're at a place where you need a little help. There's nothing wrong with letting your brothers and sisters in Christ help you get to the top of the mountain. Some of you have needs, and there's others that your needs have been met and you need to help those get to the top of the mountain. Now, if you're in need, you got two choices. Stay in the valley. Start climbing and keep climbing. That's your choice. Now, I made my mind up. I'm going to climb on. And I'm not climbing for the view. I'm climbing to see the one that's already on the top of the mountain. He ascended to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, saying, "The work is complete. I finished the task." Won't you go on up the mountain today?